This is Dr. Cassieri with Andersonville Baptist Seminary. As we continue our study in the course, The Doctrine of God, we're beginning lesson number 7. And if you look at your course outline, we're under Roman numeral number 4, the attributes of God. And last time we began to look at God's communicable attributes, and that's where we want to continue in lesson number 7. We want to look at God is love. God is love. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth, not knoweth not God, for God is love. So we see God is love clearly in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, but love is not God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us God is love. Amen. Excuse me, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's look there, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we see 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us God is love, as does probably one of the most famous or well-known verses in the Scripture in the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, in verse number 16, for God, it says, for God, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave, in the past tense, his only begotten Son. Herein is love that we love, here is love, not that we love God, but he loved us, past tense, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. All the real love that God ever showed, ever had to show for this world, was manifested at Calvary. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 9, verse 16, so then is it not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. God has chosen to show mercy to the unregenerate world at Calvary. And if you want God's love and God's mercy, you go to Calvary, amen? There you will find God's wrath and God's blood in the same place. As a matter of fact, it's called God's blood in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20 with me. And of course, in Acts chapter 20, we have Paul giving a farewell address to the elders or the pastors at Ephesus. And he gives them charges them with several things, and then he tells them in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he says, take heed, he's instructing them, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Now, he's instructing Paul, the Apostle Paul's instructing the elders, the pastors at Ephesus, amen, to take heed, amen. He gives them a charge here to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. It's the Holy Ghost, not man, that makes a man pastor or overseer of God's flock, amen. Now notice, and he tells them to feed the church of God. That's one of the main jobs or functions of a pastor or an elder or a bishop, amen, is to feed the church of God, which, talking about the church of God now, he, again God, hath purchased with his own blood. That shows you God's love, amen, that he purchased, amen, the church, the body of Christ, with his own blood, amen. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, amen. So in essence, in reality, I want to say that was God's blood that was shed for you and I, amen, so that we wouldn't have to go to hell when we die. Love and mercy show up in the same place where God's wrath against sin is manifest and God's jealousy for righteousness is manifest. And that place is at a painful, shameful, wooden, nail-pierced, whip-marked, blood-stained cross, amen. Apart from that, you can daydream about the love of God as long as you like. But you know something? You will only be self-deceived, a self-deceived fool in the end, and will disobey the commandment. Let no man deceive you, and let no man deceive himself. And again, it is written, be not deceived. If you think the love of God in this age can be obtained without meeting God's requirement, my dear friend, you're deceived by Satan. So then it is not of him that willeth. In other words, you can't decide how God is going to have mercy on you, nor of him that runneth. In other words, you cannot work your way into it. And of course, I'm quoting from Romans 9, verse 16. God has showed you mercy, and God has showed you the place where he had mercy upon you. And until you come to that place, the sword of God's wrath has its point against you and against anyone else, amen, who hasn't come to Calvary. God will not put away that sword unless an individual comes individually to the place where he put it away in the helpless, bleeding back of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. So we see then another communicable attribute of God is love. All right, the last communicable attribute of God we want to look at is God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Praise God that he is faithful, because we certainly are not faithful, amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 9 with me. Deuteronomy 7, 9. And we read, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Now notice now, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Amen. God, he's the faithful God. Amen. Look at also with me in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34 in verse number 4. In Deuteronomy 34 verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. And of course, the Lord was talking to Moses here at the end of his life. We have a great promise for the Christian in the New Testament in regard to God's faithfulness. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verses 8 and 9. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We may not be faithful, but thank God, God is faithful. And as it says in the Word of God, will confirm us until the end. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, being confident. This is something, as a Christian, you and I can be confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can be confident that whatever God has begun in our lives, whatever good work he has begun in our lives, amen, that he will perform it until Jesus comes, amen. We can know about God's faithfulness. We can experiment with it. We can learn about God's faithfulness by claiming his promises. We can put him to the test. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you turn there, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 with me. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, in verse number 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Amen. Now, look at that tremendous promise. That promise says, if a man believes in Jesus Christ, gets saved, is born again, and later the agnostics and the skeptics continually talk to him until they talk him out of his salvation, it doesn't make any difference. Amen. And that's what will happen a lot of times. The Bible believer will lead someone to the Lord, and then one of the cults will grab a hold of them, amen, and screw them up. But it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, if you were ever saved, you are still saved. If you were ever born again, God cannot deny you at the judgment seat of Christ. There is no way Christ can point his finger at a born-again child of God and say, I tell you, I know you not, once you are, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Luke 13:27. He knew you. There is no way God can take a member of the body of Christ whom the Holy Spirit has put into Christ and tell the member to get out of the body of Christ. For he, the Bible tells us, cannot deny himself. That is God's faithfulness. Or as the hymn goes, thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful who hath promised. Amen. Now, as we wrap up our lesson on the attributes of God, by looking at the scriptures, we can make some conclusions about God. For example, the Bible tells us that God is compassionate. God is compassionate. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 23, 1 Kings 8:23, the Bible tells us, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Praise the Lord and thank God that he is a compassionate God, amen. Because I know that if he wasn't, I wouldn't be here recording this lesson for you students, amen. I praise God that he saved me, that he was compassionate, that he showed mercy upon my wicked soul, and he saved me. Amen. Also, we see that God is true. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. But the Lord is the true God. Amen. There are many gods today, are there not? There's the God of money. Amen. There's the God of sex. Amen. The God of drugs. Amen. But the Lord is the true God. Not only is the true God, but he is the living God. All those other things, money, drugs, sex, whatever it may be, are dead. Amen. Are dead. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. Not only is he the true God and the living God, he is an everlasting God. An everlasting God. He doesn't have a beginning and he doesn't have an end. Amen. All those other things will pass away, my friend. But God has and will be with us forever. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. There's a day coming. It seems like the wicked is getting away with things. Amen. It's just a matter of time, my friend. That's why we have to be busy for the Lord. We need to occupy till he comes to preach the good news. Amen. There's still time left. We should be out there, amen, as Christians, actively preaching the word of God so people will turn from their idols, their dead gods, to serve the living and the true God, the everlasting God. Also, we see that God is uncorruptible. Romans chapter 1 and verse 23, we're told, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's what man has done. They've changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, and they've made images, amen, images in corruptible things, be they beasts, be they birds, or whatever it may be. But God, the true and living and everlasting God, he is uncorruptible. He cannot be destroyed, amen. Praise God for that. We'll see in tribulation, Babylon, the economic Babylon that so many people trusted in, will be destroyed. And everybody's riches and things that they've earned through that harlot, Babylon, amen, will be destroyed, amen. Because Babylon is corruptible and God is uncorruptible, amen. And because God is uncorruptible, amen, we're told about his word in 1 Peter, I believe it is. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. The word of God is incorruptible. The same as God himself, amen. And that's what saves us, amen. Then we see that God is gracious. God is gracious. Psalm 116, verse number 5. Psalm 116, verse 5. The Bible tells us, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Gracious. That's where the word grace or gracious comes from, the word grace, amen. He's a gracious God. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, amen. Grace. We're saved by grace. Because he's a gracious God, he saves us by his grace, amen. Also, we know that God is invisible. God is invisible. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible tells us, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God." See that? "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God is upright. God is upright. Psalm 25, verse number 8. Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and upright. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Good and upright. Amen. He's an upright God. There is nothing today that is upright. Amen. That we can look to or towards for an example to follow. And only it's only Almighty God. Amen. That's upright and good. Amen. God is perfect. God is perfect. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. And of course, Matthew chapter 5 is one of the chapters on the Sermon of the Mount. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew are the Sermon of the Mount or the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, the Bible tells us, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Amen. We're also told, as we close it out here, we're looking at the conclusion on the attributes of God. There is none like him. There is nobody like him. Amen. Exodus chapter 9, verse 14. Exodus chapter 9, verse 14. "For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, upon thy servants, upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." There is nobody like him, amen. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26 tells us, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky." There is none like. Amen. There is none like God. Amen. In the view of the fact that our God is a great God, King of kings, Lord of lords, who has a name that is above every name, in view of the fact that our God is a God of gods, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior, we should love him. We should worship him. We should fear him. We should serve him, and we should obey him. Amen? Okay, so that concludes the material under Roman numeral 4, the attributes of God. Now what we're going to turn to is look at the names of God. The names of God, and that's under Roman numeral 5, the names of God. All righty, the names of God. The names of God. In this lesson, we'll take up now, like I said, to discuss a discussion on the names of God. Amen. And we want to see now in the Bible lands, names have had and continue to have significance to them in relation to the Word of God. In the study of the names of God, we can learn many things about God in His revelation of Himself. God is not the subject of scientific investigation. God is the subject of revelation. And if God does not reveal himself, then no amount of scientific endeavor will ever prove anything about him. Amen. Now, the names of God found in the Bible are found in three forms. First of all, primary names. Primary names. And then we have compounds with the Hebrew word El, E-L, and compounds with the tetragrammaton in them, which is called Jehovah. Amen. In Hebrew, since the Masoretic vowel points for Jehovah are Adonai, the word is unpronounceable from the standpoint of English because no one has ever heard the name pronounced. The name was considered too sacred to be pronounced, so we have transliterated it properly in the Old Testament as Jehovah. This is translated in the King James Bible as Lord, L-O-R-D, all in capital letters. Many times it refers to God the Father. Many times, of course, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Jehovah's of Jehovah's, according to Revelations chapter 19. The King of Kings is called Lord, L-O-R-D in all caps, of Lords, all lowercase. In the primary title, we have one word only, such as El, E-L, or Ella, E-L-A, or Eloi, E-L-O-I, or Jehovah, or Adon, or Adonai, or God, or Lord. Then we have compounds, two words used together, such as Almighty God, which is El Shaddai. We have the Most High God. We have the Everlasting God. In the compound with Jehovah as Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Nissi, and so forth and so on. So what we're going to look at then is 14 names of God used in the Old Testament. Now, the first from the Hebrew Old Testament text, then from the English translation. All right, the first of these is found in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4. Genesis 2, 4. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, God made the earth and the heavens. The word is the most common word for God in the Old Testament, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. It is a compound word and clearly points out the Godhead as Father, Son, and Spirit, Elohim, a plural word. It can also be translated as gods when dealing with the gods that oppose God the Father. It is very significant to know that the Lord said in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 11, Jeremiah 10, 11, let's turn there to Jeremiah 10:11 with me. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 11. Jeremiah 10:11. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods, and of course that's plural with a small g, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. Amen. The Lord said in Isaiah 45:5, if you turn there with me, Isaiah 45:5, he said, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. Thou hast not known me. Amen. He said there that he said, I am the Lord. Amen. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. So we see then the first word, Elohim, means one who is mighty, or Lord who creates. Again, the first name that we're looking of God is Elohim, and it means one who is mighty, or the Lord who creates. Then the second name we want to look at for God is El, E-L, capital E, small l, Elyon, E-L-Y-O-N. And this is found in Genesis chapter 14 in verse 22. Genesis chapter 14 with me in verse number 22. Genesis 14 verse 22. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, L-O-R-D, all capital letters, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And of course this means the one who is supreme, the Lord who owns. So El Elyon, Genesis 14:22, means the one who is supreme, the Lord who owns. Amen. The next name we want to look at is Adonai. That's capital A-D-O-N-A-I, and it's found in Genesis 15, verse number 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Now Adonai, the meaning for Adonai is the Lord our Master, the one who is ruling. Amen. Now the next name that we want to look at is El, E-L again, Olam, capital O-L-A-M, in Genesis, found in Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba. Amen. And called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. So we see here then in Genesis 21:33, El Olam means the Lord who reveals himself, the one who is mysterious. Next we want to look at another name of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, and of course Jireh is capital J-I-R-E-H. And we look in Genesis chapter 22 verse 14, and we read, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now Jehovah Jireh means, amen, the Lord who provides. Amen. And of course this is the great chapter in which God has Abraham take Abraham's only son, Isaac, up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. It's a test of faith on Abraham by God to see just what kind of stuff Abraham was made out of. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Abraham, of course, passed the test. Amen. God provided. Amen. God provided a sacrifice. Amen. Next we want to see is, the next name we want to look at is Jehovah Rapha. Rapha is R, capital R-A-P-H-A. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 15 in verse number 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And of course, here we see the name Jehovah Rapha for God means the one who heals. Amen. Okay, the next name we want to look at, as we look at the names of God, is Jehovah Nissi. Nissi is spelled capital N-I-S-S-I. And let's turn to Exodus 17:5. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. And of course, Jehovah Nissi means the Lord our banner. Amen. The Lord our banner. Amen. You think of a banner as a flag or something that you carry, amen, that you represent, amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord our banner. And next we want to look at El Shaddai, another name for God, El Shaddai. Shaddai is spelt capital S-H-A-D-D-A-I. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 17, verse number 1. Genesis 17 in verse number 1. Genesis 17, 1. We read, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. El Shaddai means the All-Sufficient One. I praise God that we serve the All-Sufficient One. Amen. If you think about His promise in the New Testament, Paul tells us, amen, in the book of Philippians, if you turn there with me, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, I believe Paul knew that he served El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. And he had learned that the All-Sufficient One would supply all his needs through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we have to remember, it says all our needs, not what we want. Because what we want sometimes isn't good for us. Amen, Christian? But God knows exactly what we need. And He promises to supply what we need, not necessarily what we want. Because oftentimes, they're two different things. Amen. The next name we want to look at is Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. And of course, Shalom is spelled capital S-H-A-L-O-M. Look in Judges. Judges chapter 6 with me. In the book of Judges chapter 6. Judges 6. In verse 24, Judges 6, verse 24 with me. In Judges 6, verse 24, the Bible tells us, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abarezites. And of course, Jehovah Shalom means the Lord of peace. The Lord of peace. Amen. The Lord of peace. And I'm often, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the time that He was in the boat with the disciples in a great storm kicked up, amen, and they became very frightened and alarmed, and they woke him up, and of course he told the storm, peace, be still, amen, peace, be still, and the sea was calmed, and there were no winds, amen. As we think about peace, that He is the Lord, our peace, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse number 3, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace, God promises. The Lord, our peace, promises to give you perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed or put, amen, on him, amen, because he's the Lord, our peace. And praise the Lord for that, amen. Praise the Lord for the Lord, our peace, amen. We live in a world that there is very little peace and very little hope, but we can have peace and hope, amen, because of the Lord, our peace. And remember what Jesus said, again, as we're looking at the Lord, our peace, in John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. The Lord, our peace. Jesus gives and gave us and gave the disciples his peace. Amen. Even though he is at the right hand of the Father right now, we can have his abiding peace because he's given it to us. And then finally, as we look at peace, I'm reminded of another great verse in Philippians chapter 4. Paul instructs us in Philippians chapter 4. He says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God." And the result of all of that is, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord that he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. That you and I as Christians can have peace in this topsy-turvy, hell-bound world, amen. That we can have the peace that passeth all, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, if we would just continue to rejoice in the Lord, always, no matter what the situation is, and not to worry, and turn everything over to him and give him thanks for what he's going to do, then we can have the peace of God, the path is all understanding, because of Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. The next name we want to look at of God is Jehovah Sabaoth. Sabaoth is spelled capital S-A-B-A-O-T-H. Look in 1 Samuel with me. The book of 1 Samuel with me. Chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 with me. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 with me. If you would, Samuel 1, chapter 1, in verse number 3. Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. "And this man went up out of his house yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there." And of course, he's talking about the husband of Hannah, who went up yearly to worship, amen. But we see that the name of God, Jehovah Sabaoth, in 1 Samuel 1:3, means the Lord, amen, the Lord of hosts, amen. The names of God, now, we want to see the next name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, capital T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. And let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 with me. Jeremiah 23 in verse number 6. Jeremiah chapter 23 in verse number 6. In his day Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. That is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So we see that Jehovah Tsidkenu is the Lord our righteousness. He's our righteousness, amen. And it's only through his righteousness, amen, that we can have a home in heaven, amen. I think of a great verse in, as we think of the Lord our righteousness, in 2 Corinthians with me, in chapter 5, in verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he, that's God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. And why did God the Father make his Son sin for us? Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. The Lord our righteousness. We can only be made, we can only obtain the righteousness of God through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him, his death, his burial and resurrection, and that alone to save us, amen, is the only way that we can obtain God's righteousness. Alrighty, we're going to end lesson number 7. We've been looking at the names of God. And in lesson number 8, we'll continue to look at and finish out looking at the name